Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Brett Kavanaugh has become the next nominee to fill the seat of Justice Kennedy on the United States Supreme Court. This is a historic moment in America. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Holly, I remember the moment when I was in the office in Orlando, and I was having a meeting, and it was announced that Justice Kennedy had retired, had put in his resignation to the president.
Right.
It was an amazing day. And now we're at the point where we know the nominee, Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
Right. You didn't know about it at that time. I had just gotten the email. And so I'm like, I screamed in my office, and they went running in the office in your meeting and looked at you, and you're like, what? I said, he's retiring. And everyone in the meeting said, no.
It's amazing.
Kind of excitement.
Matt, this is a momentous day in America.
Yes.
This is an opportunity now to have potentially five folks on the Supreme Court who are going to look at the original intent of the founders, are going to interpret the law, not legislate from the bench, which has been the left's kind of mode of operation for, you know, decades. They can't get things passed through legislation, so they count on judicial activists to usurp the authority of the legislative branch and to basically make law from the bench. And it's one thing is very clear. Future Justice Kavanaugh has a textualist, originalist judicial theory that he is not going to be, you know, legislating from the bench.
During his confirmation message, where he was speaking on that Monday night, he said specifically that his judicial philosophy is, quote, straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make it. He also said that, in particular, he stressed he believes in interpreting statutes and the Constitution as they are written, informed by history and tradition and precedent. Now, the interesting thing is that phrase, interpret the law, not make it, is really the heart of the controversy here over those that don't support him and those that do support him. There are people who want a justice on the bench that will ultimately reach a predetermined objective, like in the abortion case. They want them to be an activist judge or justice because they can't get that through the legislative process. They want it to be imposed from the bench. And then there's others like us that want a judge to simply be a neutral arbiter of the law, to just simply interpret the law, wrestle with its text and meaning, not make the law.
And that was their whole job description, isn't it? I mean, that's what
really is.
The whole Supreme Court was created to do, was not created to be a political activist group. It was to, you know, apply the Constitution. And praise God, President Trump is sticking to that and nominating these justices that are doing that.
Well, he has a lot of legal experience, Matt, and certainly a lot of experience as a judge as well.
Well, his credentials, his bona fides are impeccable. I mean, there's just no question that he is a rock star in terms of experience, education, intelligence, and for conservatives, his judicial philosophy. But he has expressed this textualist, this originalist viewpoint, and has articulated that, for instance, in a speech in the context of talking about both a so-called right to die case where people can engage in euthanasia, tying it in with Roe v. Wade and Casey on the abortion issue. He gave what really, you have to say, seems to be a pretty positive
view. Let's talk about
this.
This is something that probably will come up more, but for right now, it hasn't been picked up very much at all. And it is in 2017, just last year, he gave a lecture, and it's called From the Bench, The Constitutional Statesmanship of Chief Justice William Rehnquist, the former Chief Justice of the United States. And he gave this as the 2017 Walter Burns Constitution Day lecture. So this would have been around September of 2017, and he gave it to the American Enterprise Institute. And on pages 15 and 16, he has some very interesting words that I'm sure will come out during this confirmation process. I think it will really help those who support him to be comfortable where he is on his position. And those who oppose him on the issue of abortion, they're not going to like what he said last year.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, in 2017, he said, and again, in talking about Judge Rehnquist and Judge Rehnquist's dissent on Roe v. Wade, and then later on the Casey decision.
Yeah, Justice Rehnquist was there in 1973. He got on the bench in 1972. And so he was there the year later, 1973, when Roe versus Wade came down. It was a 7-2 decision, and he was one of the two dissenters. He was also there in 1992, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, that reaffirmed the Roe abortion decision, and it came down as 5-4. Amazingly, remember, Rehnquist was writing the original decision 5-4 to overturn Roe versus Wade, 1992, in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And what happened? Kennedy was on the side of Rehnquist, but then switched his vote after 30 days, and the opinion was taken away from Rehnquist and ultimately upheld Roe. Rehnquist then became a dissenter. So he was a dissenter in 1973, began writing the majority opinion in 1992 to overturn Roe, but then because of Kennedy's flip-flop in the middle of writing the opinion, he became a dissenter. So those two cases, hold those in mind. There's a third case out there, and it's called the Glucksberg case. The Glucksberg case was the so-called right to die case. And here's the difference, and this is where I think it's very encouraging where Kavanaugh was speaking to. In Roe and in Casey, these abortion decisions, the majority of the Supreme Court in those two decisions came up with this unenumerated rights idea. If there's no enumerated right to say that the Constitution protects it, then historically you look at history and tradition. Is this something that is deeply rooted in American history and tradition such that it needs to be protected? Well, in Roe and in Casey, the answer is no. There has been no right unenumerated or essential to our liberty that involves abortion. But yet the Supreme Court in both of those cases invented it anyway. Rehnquist dissented. But then Rehnquist becomes the majority opinion in Glucksberg, the right to die case. And what does he say? He says, there is no deeply rooted right to die in American history. It is not necessary to maintain our liberty to have a right to die. It's certainly not enumerated. There's no enumeration that says you have a right to die. There's no history in our country of a right to die. Therefore, the law that prevents a right to die can be upheld because it's not prohibited by the Constitution. And what Kavanaugh does is say that Rehnquist was successful in the right to die case. And this is what he says, quote, he was successful in stemming the general tide of freewheeling judicial creation of unenumerated rights that were not rooted in the nation's history and tradition. The Glucksberg case stands to this day as an important precedent limiting the court's role in the realm of social policy and helping to ensure that the court operates more as a court of law and less as an institution of social policy.
Wow.
Ties that in to Roe v. Wade and Casey in the same context. So really, one can walk away with the understanding that he's saying that those words effectively apply to the abortion decisions as well.
There's so much to talk about here, and we're going to spend the week talking about Kavanaugh, the new nominee to fill the seat of Anthony Kennedy. Bottom line is, he agreed with Justice Rehnquist when he dissented in Roe and in Casey, the two abortion decisions. And he agreed with why? Because he agreed that the court is not this freewheeling social policy maker. It is supposed to be a place that respects the rule of law. So those are huge statements by the nominee. We're going to be talking more about this. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. We are going to be working very much with this nomination. We are partnering with Faith in Action, ministry in Washington, D.C. We're going to have prayer for the nominee and the families. We're going to be working with this nomination process. Stand with us at this historic moment. Go to lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community, lc.org.